Dedication and, you know, the time that you spend to practice. We appreciate you, and God is simply honored that you show up every time. Thank you. Okay, so happy Easter to everyone, and what a joy it is. This morning alone, we already spent good time at the lounge together as a family. We had breakfast and we had communion. What a wonderful experience it was. And it is just also heartwarming that we have all gathered here this morning to celebrate the resurrection of our risen Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't tell you how joyful it is that the story did not end at the grave, that he resurrected. Today reminds us that the grave could not hold him down. It reminds us that death could not hold him down. And because he lives, we have that joy and privilege to celebrate life. We have hope, we have victory, and we have eternal life. Glory be to God. And I just want us to declare. You know, when we play football, for those of us who love football, they always tell you that the winning side is the loudest side. We are on the winning side because Christ resurrected. And we're going to make it loud this morning by this simple declaration. When I say Christ is risen, I want you to raise a fist of victory and say, He is risen indeed. And make it sound like you mean it. So we'll start from upstairs. Christ is risen. And this way, Christ is risen. And on this side, Christ is risen. And everybody together, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, whether you are here in the church auditorium or if you're joining us online, whether you are a regular church member or this is your first time you're visiting us, everyone is warmly welcome. And as we gather to just begin to worship God all of today, I just want us to bow our hearts and our heads and say this simple prayer. Father God, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart and the heart of worship that we bring to you be acceptable unto you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 So I'll just take a quick announcement and then I will just hand over to Ricky. We want to remind the young adults here, if you're as old as 18 or you're as young as 35, we are reminding you today that we have, I wish I was part of that group, oh my God, that we have a bowling outing this coming Friday on the 25th of April from 7 p.m. onwards, and it's just right there, a short stroll from here to the arcade down the road. You're warmly welcome. If you have already made your intentions known, don't forget to set a reminder on your phone or calendar, how you do it, I don't know. And then if you know of people, your wards, family members, young adults who you think will benefit from spending quality time in God's presence with fellow young adults, please reach out and invite them. And be sure to direct them to either Ricky or to Nathan so that we can make arrangements for them. God bless you, everyone. We love you, and we are super glad to celebrate the resurrection of Christ with you. Amen. I'll hand over to Ricky now.
I get to do a part of the fun bit, so I'm hoping there is a birthday in the house for any of our young children or young people. Any birthdays this week or the week gone? Anyone? Anyone? Upstairs? Downstairs? Adults? Any adult birthdays? Mary? David, hey! That's who we was pointing at. I was thinking, who is it? What's happening? We've got another one up there. We've got Christine up there as well. Birthdays. A few to the right. Birthdays. Hey. Loads of birthdays. But I can't give away any gifts today. And I was hoping I would be able to. So let's sing happy birthday to all those who've got a birthday this week and a few days last week. So let's do a lovely happy birthday for them. Let's roll.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. That's it. I'm just going to hand back to the choir.
Messiah still and all alone.
God praise the name of the Lord our God. God praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise.
Good morning, church. Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found that the stone was rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Whilst they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember, he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen laying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Amen. Let's just pray before the worship team take over. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you so much for Resurrection Sunday. Father, where there was no hope, for so many of us became hope. Lord, where we were lost, because of you, Father God, we found the way. Lord, we are so grateful to be children of the living God, to be living in the truth, to have Jesus on our side. Father God, what a joy it brings to our hearts that on the third day you rose again. The tomb was empty, so that we can live in a relationship with our living God for eternity, Father. So we just thank you so much on this Resurrection Sunday. Speak into our hearts, Lord, for those who maybe are here and they don't know about the Resurrection Sunday, Lord, but let us celebrate today the goodness of our risen King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Now it's our turn. We're going to sing some songs before Nathan comes. Just one thing I was asked to say. If anyone enjoyed their breakfast this morning and would like to donate, there is a white post box in the kitchen, so just feel free. Anything, any donations are welcome. Okay, so we're going to start by singing Up From the Grave He Arose, and then Praise Is Rising.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Preston mentioned something at the start about how we're on the winning team as believers, and that's so true. And in a short while, my football team, my football team are going to be the champions of England. Yeah. And when that happens, I'm going to be so loud, and I'm going to be a pain, especially for Ricky, our youth pastor. I'm just going to come around the office and just open his door and just full Liverpool kit and just rub it in his face. But I was thinking about it this morning and I said, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to celebrate, and you know, if I had the opportunity, you'd see me in Liverpool. You'd see me up there celebrating with the thousands of fans, and you'd probably see your minister on the TV. Ain't he supposed to be in prayer meeting? But I've made up in my mind today that if I can be loud for Liverpool, if I can rejoice for Liverpool, now as good as Liverpool are to me, Liverpool can't save me. Liverpool can't give me new life, new hope. Liverpool can't give me the forgiveness of my sins. So I believe today, and I'm going to encourage us as a church, we're going to change gears in our worship. We're going to change into a higher gear. Is that okay?
Yes.
I want us to don't feel restricted. We're going to give God our best in praise and worship. The psalmist declares in the Old Testament, clap your hands, all ye people. But that's not all he says. That's not all he says. But he says, clap your hands, but shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We are people that are on the Lord's side. We're on the winning team. And we're here this morning to celebrate the goodness of God for all that he has done for us through Jesus Christ. Is that all right?
Yes.
So we're gonna sing He Has Risen together.
Yes.
You ready for that song?
Yes.
And we're going to stand together if you're able. We're going to sing He Has Risen. And I want you to give it your best for Jesus. He rose from the dead for you and for me. Wow, there's a lot of people here today. Wow. To God be the glory. Amen. Praise God. Let's celebrate together. He has risen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's Easter Sunday, it's Resurrection Sunday.
Amen.
And I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to give an opportunity just for one person who feels led of the Lord to share a testimony this morning. Maybe there's something the Lord has done for you and laid on your heart, and it will be a blessing for us to hear your testimony. I want you to come and briefly share that with us. I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes. If you feel led of the Lord, there's a testimony in your heart, I want you to come now and share your testimony. Is anyone has a testimony? Anyone has a testimony to share? I'm going to give an opportunity on this Resurrection Sunday to testify of the goodness of God. Coming up, Julie.
Right. Some of you have heard this before, but this morning when we were doing the breakfast, I just felt the Lord say, you need to share this because you know Jesus is alive. And are you in or are you out? So this is for some of the people who might be here thinking, you know, am I in or am I out? Or what exactly am I? Oh, matter. Right, about 12 years ago, Ian had a cardiac arrest at my home on my stairs. So, fortunately, I mean, if I say fortunately, but God was with us on that day because it was a teacher's strike day. So our youngest daughter was home. I'd broken my leg, so I couldn't go to work. So we were both there, and Ian just had a cardiac arrest. Now, a cardiac arrest is not the same as a heart attack. A cardiac arrest is your heart stops, and you are dead. So there I have him in my arms, and he is dead. All I could do was just pray. And all I could do was say, Lord, you're going to have to sort this out. Daughter, cutting a very long story short, daughter runs off and gets the ambulance. We had 3 ambulances, 6 paramedics turn up at my house. But do you know what? Jesus came. When I'm there doing CPR, Jesus stood there. So any of you doubters here, he is alive and he came to my house. So Ian is here because this is where God wanted him. He raised him from the dead. So off he goes in the ambulance. They've got to knock him out because he's becoming violent. So they knock him out. Off they go in the ambulance. He's not changed very much. And so I was left there on my own. So I'm sitting at the top of the stairs and I was obviously really didn't know what was happening to me. And then Jesus appeared and he said, be still, Julie, be still and know that I am God. And I had to at that point in time give over Ian to the Lord. I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. But do you know what? Jesus is alive, church. So those of you that are standing on the threshold, you need to make your mind up, because if you walk out of there and get knocked over, where are you going? You need to make that commitment.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Our God is a miracle worker.
Amen.
He's a promise keeper.
Amen.
He's the light in the darkness. We're going to prepare to dismiss our children and youth to their groups. We're going to pray for them, but we're going to sing just a few times. A line of that song is coming to my heart. Waymaker, miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's the light in the darkness. It's always impromptu, I know, with me. It's just, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. We didn't plan to sing this. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Yes. Let's sounds beautiful, church. Waymaker, Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker,
promise keeper.
Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Waymaker, Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
One more time.
And we pray that on this Resurrection Sunday, as they go now to learn more of your word, we pray you bless them abundantly. And for the teachers and assistants, we pray too that they will just sense and know your presence, Lord, wherever they may be, downstairs, upstairs. Lord, go with them now as they learn more about the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Have a wonderful time in your groups, children and young people. Amen.
Them in together. Let's all stand because he lives.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, worship team, Terry and the team, for leading us in worship. And as we draw near to the Word of God, I just want to read a few verses from the Gospel according to John. We're going to look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And from verse 1, you will find these words. John chapter 20, verse number 1. Early. Can we say early?
Early.
On the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." We don't know where they have put the dead body of the Lord Jesus. We see from the outset here at church that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and even from Mark's account of the narrative, as we read earlier, we see that she came with the intention to find the dead body of Jesus. She, along with some of the other women, had come prepared with spices that were used to prepare a dead body for burial. So we see that the intention and also the expectation was to find not Jesus alive, but to find the dead body of Jesus. They've taken away the Lord out the tomb, and we don't even know where they've put him. Verse 3 says, "So Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb." And this is hilarious for me, verse 4. "Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first." Maybe Peter needed to join the gym. "He bent over and looked in," John did, "and he saw the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. He stood from a distance and he peeped into the tomb. He was not bold and confident enough to go into the tomb, but he stood and looked from a distance, and he saw that there were some lying strips of linen there, but he did not go in. And then verse 6 says, "Then Simon Peter came along." He caught up finally. He's breathing, he's panting perhaps. But look at the difference with Simon Peter. John stood from a distance, looking in. But Simon Peter came to the tomb, and he went straight in, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. And the cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple, John, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. And he saw and he believed. But verse 9 says, our final verse, "They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead." They still did not understand from the Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. I'm asking the question simply, briefly this morning. Church, are you in or are you out? Can you say that with me? Are you in or are you out? John Pritchard, Anglican vicar, in his book entitled Going to Church, he offers some advice to churchgoers, church attendees, perhaps advice for seasoned veteran church attendees, and also for those perhaps who have been going even more recently to church. And he says in his advice in the book, he says, "If you ever get bored of going to church, here's some advice for you. If you ever find yourself being bored, that going to church for you becomes mundane, that it just doesn't seem to have that same spark and passion and vigor that you used to have before, Pritchard says this is what you need to do. Number one, practice sleeping with your eyes open in church. He says, it's not easy, but it's a useful skill. Then he says, another piece of advice, dedicate several minutes for reaching into your pocket to find some sweets. And you have to practice the art of going into your pocket without making too much noise to undo the sweet wrapper and nicely and neatly take the sweet out of your pocket and put it into your mouth without making a disturbance in the service. I know some seasoned veterans that know how to do that, even around this church. My wife is one of them. But then he says, third piece of advice, for anyone who's feeling bored, mundane, that church is just becoming just boring, he says, perhaps you need to introduce some chants into the church. Some congregational chants to liven up the service. And he says, in his advice, he says, why don't you go for, what do we want? And then the other side of the church will say, change. When do we want it? And then the other side will say, now. But he says, if you're in a Baptist church, you need to remix that. So you say, what do you want? Change. When do you want it? In due course. Has to be a process. Members meeting. Another members meeting. And another one. A process. It's humorous, church, but in a real sense, as we peruse John chapter 20, what we see from John's account, church, the account of the resurrection, in a classic sense, it's really a case of misguided and also what I'd like to call low expectations from Mary Magdalene, from Simon Peter, and also from John and all the other disciples, as they were the first ones to notice early on the first day of the week that something is going on here. Mary Magdalene arrived early at the tomb, and she came to the tomb with the spices to prepare Jesus's body, to offer some sense of dignity for the deceased. She came with the expectation that Jesus was dead. We know he's dead because 3 days prior, he was led up to the cross and he was crucified in front of many onlookers, and we saw that he died. And they took him down from the cross, church. We know he was dead. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. And for their expectation, church, in their estimation, Jesus was no longer. R.I.P. Jesus. Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust. They had pronounced the benediction over his earthly life. The show was over in their estimation. Jesus is dead. And in a real sense, even for us today, when it comes to the resurrection, but even when it comes even in our everyday lives, to believe God for the impossible, to believe God to do the miraculous in our lives, in our generation, in our midst. Sometimes we are held back as individuals and held back even as a church because we have a case, just like Mary Magdalene, just like Simon Peter, a case of low expectations. I want to ask the question today, briefly, what are your expectations? When we gather together as a church community, what are you expecting to encounter? Do you come each week just expecting the same old, same old? Do you come each week expecting to find everything the same, Martin? Do you come perhaps knowing that every part of the service will be the same? Come on, for those of you who have been here a while, you know how the service runs. We know the schedule. We know how it starts and we know how it ends. And sometimes that can hold us back because we limit the potential and the power of God to do something great amongst us. Why? Because we have low expectations. Simon Peter, Mary Magdalene, John, they arrived at the tomb expecting to find a dead body. Perhaps there's someone here today, you think that in the situation that you are going through in your own life right now, in this season of your life, you've already come to terms that it's over. That there's no hope for you. There's no hope for your family member who is sick. There's no hope in your finances. You can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. It seems as if it's over. But can I encourage you, church, that we are people of the resurrection. And that lets us know that regardless of the situation, whatever the situation may appear to be like, in our human eyes, we always have to be mindful that with God, all things are possible. And even if the situation does not change, we still have to have the faith and the trust and the confidence in Jesus that because we are people of the resurrection, I still believe that all things are possible. So that lets me know that it's not over until God says it's over. Can I encourage you, church? Don't prematurely speak words of doom and gloom over your situation. Allow the possibility of the resurrection to permeate your situation. I don't care what it may look like. I don't care what the doctor's report may be. As we heard from Julie earlier, even if it's a cardiac arrest, and they say it's over, flatline, no more, kaput.
They did. They absolutely did.
And yes, we trust the medical advice of the professionals. But the resurrection teaches us, church, that God, in his providence, in his perfect will and timing, that even if it takes 3 days, it's not over until God says that it's over. So I want to encourage us as a church and as a community, and even in our own lives, let's raise our expectations. Let's not just gather together and expect the same old, same old. But when we gather together as the ecclesia, as the gathered church community, we should expect to encounter the risen Lord in our services. We should expect to encounter the presence of the Holy Spirit moving in the service, transforming lives and drawing people to Jesus Christ. And yes, I even go a step further and to say, we should expect to see miracles. And I've been praying recently, and I'm going to share some of the prayers I've been praying. I've been praying, and it's so important that we don't allow the skepticism, even in our own minds, to even restrict us from praying prayers that seem impossible on paper. So I've been praying for us as a church community that we will grow so much in size, number, spiritually grow, that this building will not be big enough to house the growth that God will bring our way. How many of you believe with me that God's able to do that? In fact, when you look today, we only have that side and that side to fill. And around there, right? So I'm praying by faith that one of these Easter Sundays to come in the future, that we'll have so many people in the building that we would have to find some space out in the lounge to put a TV screen out there so people can watch in the overflow, that there'll be people queuing up outside wanting to come in to encounter the presence of God and to encounter the risen Lord Jesus. That is the level of expectation that we need to have. Are we just expecting everything to be the same? Or are we expecting great things in our generation? So I'm going to draw to a close. I'm not going to keep you long today. But what can we learn from the story and the responses of Mary Magdalene, of Simon Peter, and also from John? As they encountered the tomb and they noticed that the body of Jesus was no longer positioned in the tomb, we see from these three individuals that they all had differing responses. Mary Magdalene was so afraid that she didn't know what to do. And she went back with the message saying, "They have taken away the body of our Lord Jesus." And then Simon Peter and John head out for the tomb. And Simon Peter was lagging behind John. And John arrived first. And John, as he approached the tomb, he stood from a distance, looking into the tomb. And he noticed that there were some strips of linen laying in the tomb. And as I was thinking about that, church, I was thinking of how relevant and symbolic that is for many people even today, who stand on the outside looking in at the gospel message, looking in at the light beaming from the church of the Lord Jesus. And they're wondering in their minds, is there any truth to this death, burial, and resurrection? Is there any truth to this message of hope that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life? And they stand from a distance. And yes, they even may come and try church out for a time. And they listen, and they sit, and they observe. But sometimes the expectations of humanity can hold them back from going all the way in. They're happy to stand from a distance and observe, but to go in, it means radical change and commitment. And I want to encourage anyone here today, if you find yourself in that predicament, standing from a distance, watching and observing, perhaps all year long in 2025, you have felt the nudges of the Holy Spirit. You have encountered experiences so far this year where the Lord is trying to get your attention, but you've been doing all you can to resist. I'm not too sure about this. How am I going to do this, Lord? I don't know if I'm good enough to start this new journey with you. I don't know if I know enough, if I have all the right answers to start this new journey with you. But I'm here to encourage you that even if you have just a mustard seed faith, just a small seed of faith, if you place that small seed of faith into the hands of God today, then I can vouch with all assurance that Jesus will take that small seed of faith and do something beautiful in your life. Amen. Are you willing today to go that step further and say, I'm willing to go in, all the way in, and encounter all that God has in store for me? And Simon Peter, and this is so typical of Peter, if you know about his character, he always had a way of just going for it. So when he arrived at the tomb, he goes all the way in. He was happy to go in and look for himself. And he saw that the body of Jesus was not in the tomb. But then I love how John, eventually he went in. And the Bible says that he saw and he believed. Now, I want to deal with this briefly for a moment because there are many skeptics throughout the years and generations and even today that will do all they can to refute the evidence of the resurrection. So allow me today just to share some evidence from you, from God's word, that if there's anyone here today that's still skeptical about the resurrection, surely not. A man that was crucified came back to life? Really? That don't make sense. Well, allow me to offer some evidence to support the view of the resurrection. Number one, the resurrection was predicted. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. I don't know about you, but imagine having the knowledge of how you are going to die. When you're going to die, how it's going to take place. Every aspect of Jesus's life was predicted and prophesied in the Old Testament. That the Son of God would come into the world, he would suffer and die, and he would be raised back to life. Some 700 years before Jesus was even born, an Old Testament prophet by the name of Isaiah would write and record a vision from God that Jesus Christ would be born into this world and he would be the atoning sacrifice for the entire world. So it was predicted and prophesied in the Old Testament. But number two, Jesus came on the scene in the New Testament and he too predicted what would happen to him. For those of you who were here a few weeks ago, we shared the sermon and Jesus warned his disciples of all that would take place in the lead up to Calvary. He told them that the Son of God would suffer and die, but on the third day, he would rise back to life. So the Old Testament predicted it. Jesus predicted what would happen. But also, there were eyewitness accounts to the resurrection. Not only did Peter see him, not only did Mary Magdalene see him, but all the other disciples, they saw the risen Lord Jesus. In fact, when you read 1 Corinthians, Paul says that over 500 people witnessed the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But then when you dig a little bit deeper, if you say, well, they're just making it up. Yeah, that's just all make-believe. They must have been lying. 500 people were lying. Well, I beg to differ, and this is why. The disciples of Jesus, after the resurrection, they continued to testify and proclaim that Jesus was alive. And in doing so, they risked their very own livelihoods and their lives itself. They were persecuted because of the fact they were going around saying, Jesus is alive. He has risen from the dead. And they were warned and persecuted, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. We don't want to hear about Jesus anymore. He's gone. Stop saying that he's alive. I don't want you to say it. Herod and the authorities, they went up, stop saying Jesus. But even despite the threats to their lives, they still continued to preach and proclaim that Jesus is alive. And even when you study history, theologians and scholars teach us that many of the Lord's apostles suffered immensely and died gruesome deaths. They were martyred for their faith. And the question that I have to ask is this. If it was just all make-believe, do you really think they would have suffered and given their lives all for a lie? I'm sure if it was just a lie, Ian, that at some point they would have said, okay, that's enough now. I'm only joking. He really didn't rise from the dead. But they continued, even to the point of giving their own lives, because they were assured in their own, they knew exactly what they saw. But if Old Testament prophecies is not enough for you, if a New Testament example of Jesus predicting his death is not enough for you, and if the accounts of the eyewitnesses is not enough for you in Jesus' day, allow me to offer one final exhibit. Are you ready for the final one? All you have to do is look around. If Jesus is dead and he had not risen from the dead, then my question is this. How do you explain all of the testimonies in this house? Okay, you don't want to believe the Bible. You don't want to believe historical accounts. You don't want to believe evidence. You don't want to believe the eyewitness accounts in Jesus' day. Well, if you don't believe any of that, all you have to do is take a look around you in this day and age. Because there are some real life examples in this church of how God, through Jesus, has transformed lives. If we had time, we would go around and hear the testimonies. There's some people that have gone through so much in this life that wouldn't be here today if it was not for Jesus. They were sinking in sin. They were sinking in grief and in rejection. But the love of God through Jesus Christ picked them up out of the dirt and gave them hope and peace and joy and love and grace. How do you explain the alcoholic who was strung out on alcohol, had an addiction, but through the love of God, through Jesus Christ, they gave their hearts to him and he took their lives and made something beautiful out of their life. Amen. Hallelujah. How do you explain the woman or the man who had a rough upbringing, that they were abused as a child? They perhaps did not know that their parents, their biological parents, and they had trust issues. They didn't even know how they could trust someone to be a parent to them. But now they're here this morning. And they can testify, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon me, that I can be called a son, a daughter of God. Amen. Who could that be but the risen Savior and Lord Jesus Christ? See, people may not want to believe the word, but what they can't deny is real life, everyday, ordinary people, examples and testimonies and stories of how Jesus has impacted lives. And that leads me on finally to this point. Not only should we raise our expectation, not only should we resolve to ask the question, are we in or are we out? Are we going to stand on the outside like John? Or are we going to go all the way in like Peter? But finally, this morning, here's the solution and the celebration. If you're going to go all the way in, don't keep the good news to yourself. You see, when you and I encounter good news and exciting news, I don't know about you, but especially for me, it's very difficult to keep it to yourself. It's very difficult. Now I'm going to be in trouble later if I say. It was on Sunday. Sorry, on Friday, we was talking to some of our friends, and they were saying, do you know the gender of your expected baby? And we said, yeah, we know it. We know the gender, but we're not saying anything. So they said, well, Nathan, we give you 2 more weeks. I've been doing good, haven't I? It's very hard to keep good news in. You want to share the good news, right? And it's very hard for me to keep this news up, but I'm not going to do it. Don't worry.
You want to watch football later?
But here's my point. There is no greater news than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're all the way in, then we should be so inspired to share the good news with others. But sometimes, if we're honest, it's not so easy, is it, to share our faith, to share the good news. Sometimes we're happy to go in, but we want to keep it to ourselves. But God has called us to be people of faith that are willing to share the good news with others. We've got to be people that are courageous, that even if we face rejection, remember, Jesus said, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. All we can do is share the news. Whether people want to accept the news or not, that's not our responsibility. When I was a kid, my first job was a new paper round boy. It was my job to deliver the news. My responsibility was not to assess whether or not they're reading it or taking in the information that I've delivered. It's amazing how my first job was to deliver the news paper. But now I'm still doing it, just in a different way. That's what we do as preachers. We just deliver the news of Jesus Christ. But we've got to be courageous. And I believe God is calling and raising us up in this generation to be bold, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I love Mary Magdalene, because she was the first one, after she encountered the risen Lord Jesus for herself, Jesus told her, go back and tell the others. He told the woman to go and share the news that he's not dead, but he's alive forevermore. And I thank God that Mary Magdalene, she was bold. She was courageous. She was willing to go and share the good news with the others, to say that Jesus is alive. He's alive forevermore. Reminds me also of the woman in John chapter 4 that Jesus had the encounter with this Samaritan woman. And after she encountered him, she went away back to her city proclaiming, come see a man. Come see Jesus. He told me everything I ever done. My question to you today, If you're willing to go in, are you willing to share the good news? I'm going to close here. Our time is far spent. But I want to challenge us this morning. Are you in or are you out? Are you like John initially, who was happy to look on from the outside? Or do you have the boldness like Peter to step in and see for yourself? Now, this is not just a make-believe religion, but this is real life. Amen. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. This is real life. He is risen just as he said he would, and he is alive forevermore. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this service. And Lord, we pray that even now, that if there's anyone here today who, like John, is looking on from the outside, looking in from the outside, I pray that you would just encourage them even now, that they may step in to new life, to hope, to joy, to peace, to love. Give them the boldness even now to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to step in. This is what it's all about, that Jesus has come that I may have life and have it more abundantly. But then I pray for all of us who have already gone all the way in, that you too, Lord, would continue to challenge us and encourage us in our journeys in following you, that we too would have that boldness like Mary Magdalene to not just keep the news to ourselves, but to share the news with others. I pray that you would impress upon our hearts, even this week, give us an opportunity to share the love of God with someone else. Lord, if each and every one of us was to win one soul for you throughout the rest of this year, then the size of this church would double. What a beautiful thing that would be. So would you help us, Lord, even if it's one person that we may share the gospel with this week, that, Father, you would impress that upon our hearts, that we may share the wonderful news of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his blessed resurrection. To you we give the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. The worship team are coming back as we prepare to draw this service to a close. Amen. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. We're going to return to worship. Go for it. for us. We're going to close in just a moment, but I want to offer an opportunity for anyone here today that wants to give their life to Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ has gone forth, and we want to give an opportunity for someone to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here today that you want to make a commitment to Christ? I want you to be bold, just like Peter, to go all the way in, to go all the way in, and to raise your hand in faith to say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again for me. Is there anyone here today? Please raise your hand if you want to give your life to Christ. Oh, praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. What's your name? Lacey. Lacey, it's the best decision you could ever make. Amen. And to give your life to Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for you now. And we're going to pray for you. And this is the start of a brand new journey for you. This is why we all came here today, so that someone would hear the good news of Jesus. So we just celebrate with you as heaven rejoices over one and over 99 just persons. Let's pray for our dear Lacey. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Lacey. We thank you that she's here. And Lord, you've brought her here for a reason and for such a time as this. And we thank you now, Lord, as you are ministering to her through your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you are opening her heart to the love of God through Jesus Christ. So now, Lord, we just commit her to you. We thank you that Jesus Christ died for her sins and he rose again on the third day. As Paul says, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and we believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, then you shall be saved. And Lord, we ask now that you would fill Lacey with your Holy Spirit, that she may walk in the newness of life. Bless her now, we pray, and her family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. I can sing. I can sing.
I will sing of your love forever.
Thank you so much, church, for your patience. I know we've gone over our time a little bit this morning, but it's a special day, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. And it's all about Jesus. There's no football on later anyway, so it's all right. I'm just kidding. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to laugh. We're going to pray the benediction tonight. Please, if you can meet us back tonight, if you can. We're going to be back here again at 6:30. We're going to have a wonderful time of praise and worship. We're just going to thank God for the resurrection. And Linda's going to be leading us tonight. So if you come out, that'll be great. We're going to have a time of worship together. Please join us again in the church lounge for teas and coffee. I'm losing my voice here. For teas and coffees. And if you're a first-time visitor, please don't leave. I'd love to shake your hand. I want to thank you so much for coming. If you're first, I'm going to be on the door. I'd love to greet you and shake your hand before you leave. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much again for this service today. And we thank you for the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ and all that it means to us. And we pray that each and every day we would, Lord, be people of great expectation, because we serve a great God who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ever imagine. So, Lord, we just continue to trust you regardless of our situations, whatever we're going through. We know that you are able, Lord, to see us through. So, Lord, please now, as we ask to be dismissed from this place, but never from your presence, and until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you, church. We love you. Thank you.